Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Hey, thanks for being here. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about. A little later on in the hour, need to get to the likelihood that the Supreme Court is going to be weighing in on some of the major questions of our time dealing with social media. First Amendment, you know, who's a publisher, who's a, an open forum, that sort of thing. So stay tuned for that. That could have major, major repercussions and affect all sorts of different stuff. Plus, speaking of social media, there's a really interesting story about some of the nefarious things our military and intelligence services are doing on social media and some of the people within our government that are whining that it's too much or it's nasty or something like that. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, a lot of good stuff to talk about. But right now, it's a great pleasure to welcome back to the Armstrong and Getty Show, Craig Gottwals, Craig, the healthcare guru, attorney at law, benefit consultant, Benefit Revolution is his company/website. We'll let you know how to get in touch with him a little later on if you need help. But Craig, welcome. How are you, brother?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
I'm terrific. Thank you. So a brief description of why we wanted you on today. First of all, it's been a while since we've talked to you. And, you know, Jack and I are confident about certain topics, but we're humble about certain topics. And the complexity of the world of insurance and benefits and healthcare and the government and the policy, it's dizzying to the layman. So we always like to talk to you about what's going on.
Yeah, I understand that. When I was on last time, I think I was on with Jack when you were out, and mm-hmm. Jack was asking me what premium increases were going to look like in 2023, both for private employers and in the exchanges. And at the time, you know, we were looking at 20-35% increases across the board because one of the Band-Aid extension of Obamacare subsidies above and beyond what was originally passed in Obamacare was set to expire. And, you know, Jack asked me what I thought the odds were that that was going to happen. And I said, it would not happen. Republicans would cave or Democrats would figure out a way to get it passed without a Republican vote through some sort of budget reconciliation. And that's exactly what they did with the Inflation Reduction Act. So an extra $25 billion a year is going to be handed out to roughly 10, 11 million people in the Obamacare exchanges, and it's going to take their annual increases, you know, from something that would have been probably 22-23% down to an average of 10% across the board. Which, in healthcare terms, honestly, Joe, is kind of low, because we've been seeing 7-10% increases in healthcare for 25 years. So the fact that healthcare is only going to go up 7-10% again this year is almost a picnic in light of what's going on with true inflation.
Yeah, you know, I hate to ask you for numbers you don't have, but I find myself wondering in the context of all of the inflation we've had, in which, you know, healthcare allegedly a sixth of the economy, we've heard, or a seventh, whatever it is. It seems like buying milk and eggs is now a seventh of your paycheck. In the midst of all that other inflation, I find myself wondering, the average American, the typical American family, what percentage of their take-home pay do they spend on healthcare these days? Do you have any idea?
Well, that number varies greatly depending upon whether you're self-employed or whether you work at a public employer, for example, that pays almost everything on your behalf, but of course then reduces your take-home pay because they're using their resources to buy your bloated health insurance. That number is kind of misleading because it's all over the map depending upon where you work. But I can tell you, you know, one of the reasons, I'm totally diverging here from what we've spoken about talking about, but there's two main reasons we have this bloated, ridiculous healthcare system that we have in America. And I don't know if I've ever talked about this on your show, but the primary reason, so taking a step back, when you buy insurance, and I'm a guy who sells insurance, I always tell people you're best off buying as little insurance as you can. Save what you can, cover what you can, have as high of a deductible as you can afford, and then buy insurance. Because once you buy insurance, that money walks away, right? So we have high deductibles on our homes, our cars, et cetera. But for healthcare, we live in this peculiar world where we insure everything down to a paper cut. You know, we all want to go into the hospital or the doctor for a $20, $30 copay, and we don't think about what things cost. And the real question is why? Why did that start? Interestingly enough, that started in World War II. And you might say, what the hell? Well, in World War II, we decided, hey, there's a war on. So we put wage freezes in place as a country. And so what they did was they said, well, but we still need to recruit employees and retain them somehow. So benefits don't count as part of the wage freezes. So at that time, during World War II, employers who needed to recruit talent started putting in these ridiculously bloated prepaid health plans where it paid for everything. It paid for your annual physical. It paid for everything. It had no deductible. It had no skin in the game for the purchaser. On top of that, we amended the tax code to say, oh, and by the way, every bit of money you give to an employee in the way of health insurance is non-taxable. So we have two huge incentives to provide these bloated medical plans to people, and that's part of the reason this thing has spiraled out of control the way it has the last 75 years.
Wow, that is so interesting. Craig Gottwals, the healthcare guru, is on the line. That's great knowledge. And the other thing that I'll always be grateful to you for pointing out to us was how utterly dishonest government healthcare programs like Medicare are in terms of the legislation and what they claim they will compensate doctors for their services, that sort of thing. How artificial and dishonest the whole thing is.
Yeah, you know, that's a fantastic point, Joe, because there is a ray of sunshine coming through the cloud cover. There are shoots of green hope coming up in the desert soil here. We're seeing a renaissance in the private market in healthcare that I wrote about years ago, and it's really starting to take off. And so,
all right, here's a quick question before you get into that. Can we talk about that in 2-3 minutes, or are we better off taking a break and taking our time and helping people understand what's happening?
Take a break, but absolutely, we can do it after a break, absolutely. But
I mean, because this is such a part of everybody's budget. I don't care if you're rich or poor. Healthcare and particularly folks who are past 50. You realize, you know, nobody escapes the aches, pains, and travails of aging. So I don't want to rush through this stuff. So, yeah, Craig, though it is our show, I appreciate your guidance on this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Craig, the healthcare guru, get you some good advice and let you know about those green shoots of hope. Although, Craig, you know how I hate hope, because I'm only disappointed if I have hope. I prefer to be a miserable pessimist. All right, fair enough. So back with Craig in seconds. Don't go away.
Armstrong and
Getty Show.
Craig Gottwalls, the healthcare guru, is an attorney at law and benefit consultant and is with us now to discuss the state of healthcare in America and families and that sort of thing. Craig, thanks for hanging around.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Absolutely. Before we dive into the next topic, we're always talking about the percentage of healthcare that's already socialized in America. Has that changed in either direction?
No, that's great. That's actually that's a foundational fact I was going to need to set up here to make the next point. And it hasn't changed other than it's just slowly creeping upwards. So right now, it's safe to say that 2/3 of all healthcare in America are funded by taxpayers. And then, you know, people always ask, they say, wait a minute, how's that possible? Because I see that, you know, 40 or 50% of people get their insurance through work. And it's because once you add together, now remember, anybody who works for a state or federal or local government, almost all of their health care is funded by taxpayers too.
Right.
And then when you add that to Medicare, Medicaid, the VA care, and then TRICARE, which is for active duty military, when you add all that together, 2/3 of all healthcare in America are funded by taxpayers. So you look at that and you say, well, now we've got 1/3 of healthcare that's actually being funded by the private marketplace. And so how does that work? Well, here's what's going on. When you take your employer healthcare plan and you go to the hospital, that plan is paying on average across the country 225% of what Medicare would pay for the same exact service.
Wow.
That's right. More than double. That's right. This is how Medicare keeps costs down, because Medicare is the number one purchaser of healthcare across the country. So hospitals don't dare decline it because it's their number one client. And there's also a patriotic element to taking Medicare, because that's our healthcare for the oldsters. They've paid into it all their lives. It's a bad PR move for a hospital to say, we're not going to take Medicare. So the way Medicare gets funded is through a private hidden tax that none of us know about. And that's the fact that the government pays the hospitals way too little and then turns around and charges that 1/3 of private employers 225% of what those costs are in order to make themselves whole and make a nice, tidy profit.
Oh, wow. That really is a tax.
It really is a tax. It's a hidden tax, and it's been creeping up. This is not one party or the other. This has been going on since it started with Clinton, and it's been going on through the second Bush and Obama and Trump. I mean, this just continues to march on, and the disparity gets worse every year. I look at the studies and that 225% just keeps creeping upward. So it's just a beautiful thing that's starting to happen, Joe. I've written about this. It's pretty wonky, but I'm going to simplify the heck out of it. Large employers. And when I say large, I mean, you've got to have at least 250, 300 employees to make this work. They're just opting out of the entire system, right? So, like, when you guys talk about, it's not ours versus D's, it's really them versus us. It's the elite class, the politicians versus the people. Well, there's an element of that with healthcare, because it's not really insurers versus hospitals or Medicare. It's really what I like to call a government industrial healthcare complex. You've got Medicare in cahoots with the large insurers that are overcharging, and then the hospitals are benefiting from these large reimbursements. So large employers that have the resources, and most employers with more than 300 employees do, are just starting to opt out altogether and say, enough. We're going to pay for our employees' health care, and we're not going to do it with any insurance company at all. And then you say, well, wait a minute, how do they do that? They say, we're not paying the 225% of what Medicare pays. We're going to pay hospitals 140% of what Medicare pays. So they pick a percentage that's more than Medicare, and they say, this is what we'll pay you for our employees' service. Will you take it or not? And so far, 97% of hospitals are capitulating and saying, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's pretty
97%.
Hard for us to say we won't take it.
Yeah. So do I understand correctly that these companies are self-insured? They just go ahead and write the check for the medical coverage, and they probably have like an insurance company that just administers the claims for them, does the paperwork?
Yeah, we hire, when we do this, we hire an administrative agency, a TPA, a third-party claims payer, and then we hire what we call a repricing company that actually prices the medical claim to be what 140% of Medicare is, which we know because that's all published, right? So So anything that happens, like when you go to the doctor, when you plan your surgery, whatever, the pre-certification of the claim set comes in and says, hey, we don't have one of these giant insurance companies. We're going to pay you 40% more than Medicare pays you. Take it or leave it. And it's really hard for a hospital to say, gee, no, we're not going to take 40% more than our largest client pays us, because that would look right. really bad. Now, you say, what happens in the 3%? Well, roughly 3% of them, the hospital pushes back and says, no, we want 225%. And that's when we engage with the lawyers and we say, well, wait a minute. You're going to charge my client 225% when your number one client pays you 40% less than we're offering? So of the 3% where this gets disputed, only 0.3% go to trial. And so far, in the 0.3% that have gone to trial, every one of them is settled except for one. The one that settled sided with the employer, because the judge ultimately ruled you can't be charging. Well, first of all, it was an emergency situation. So in an emergency situation, you have a weird deal where somebody gets care and they don't know what the price is going to be. So that's not a contract, legally speaking. And then the hospital tried to charge 225%. And, of course, the employer said, no, we'll pay 140%. And ultimately, they sided with the employer. So what this is doing effectively, Joe, is it's reducing a company's healthcare costs by 30% year one. So, like, whatever you're paying today, $10 million for your health plan, you're going to pay $7 million next year with this system. It's unbelievable. Oh.
Okay, so we have a fair number of business owners listening, of course, but we have many, many hardworking folks who are employees. Is this going to filter down? Is this going to be of benefit to the working people?
Absolutely, because they're going to start to see the amount coming out of their paycheck go down by 30% per month when they go to the doctor. And you're not dealing with an insurance company anymore. So you just go to whichever hospital or doctor you want, and you let your employer and your employer's repricing company fight with the hospital over the price of the claim. We completely exempt the employee from the disruption here. Excuse me.
And how widespread is this?
Well, it's years ago when I started writing about it, only about 2% of companies were dabbling in it. Now you've got as many as 18% of companies that are starting to move in this direction with at least one form of plan that does this. It's called reference-based pricing, because you're picking a reference point. In my example, I used 140% of Medicare as the reference point.
Yeah. Yeah. So if folks, like business owners, want to know more about this, how can they get hold of you?
Two ways. I mean, if you're on Twitter, the easiest way is to hit me at Benny, B-E-N-E, revolution.com. If you're not on Twitter and you want to go the traditional website route, you could go to my blog, which is benefit-revolution.com. You can get me at
benefit-revolution.com. And we'll have links at armstrongandgetty.com for folks driving or whatever. Craig, that's so interesting, and you make it understandable. Scale of 1 to 10, how significant a development do you think this is going to be over time, this new strategy?
Well, I would say this is a 7, because it just won't work well for companies with less than like 250 people, because they don't have the resources to self-insure. Right. So it's a huge development for, I mean, if you have more than 300 employees, this is a 9 out of 10. This is a huge thing that'll keep you from going socialized in the future. If you're in that smaller bracket, I think you're going to end up with some form of Obamacare or Medicaid by 2030.
In 10 seconds, can smaller companies at some point in the future band together?
Yes, and there are things smaller companies can do that look like this but aren't quite as effective, and I'm doing that with some of those as well.
Okay, fair enough. Craig Gottwals, Craig the healthcare guru. Craig, terrific stuff. Always great to talk to you. Hey, let's go fishing soon, all right?
Yeah, Joe, let's get after it.
We're going to those bass, they need to be caught. They want it. All right, thanks, Craig. Coming up, the Supreme Court going to weigh in on some of the heavy social media questions of our time. First Amendment, Section 230 of the Commerce Clause, blah, blah, blah. Plus, scientists have estimated how many ants are there on Earth. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
CBS is facing criticism over its decision to end coverage of Queen Elizabeth's funeral yesterday in order to air episodes of Let's Make a Deal and The Price is Right. Though, if you're a fan of those two shows, you've probably seen plenty of funerals. Oh. That's right, they cut away from Queen Elizabeth's funeral yesterday to air episodes of Let's Make a Deal and The Price is Right, or as the British Empire used to call those, foreign policy.
Wow, the first one was distasteful and the second one was obscure. Wow, that left a bad taste in my mouth. Is the Tom Brady joke any good? I read the other day. Well, I don't want to give away the joke in case that's the point of it. Go ahead. Number two, Michael.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady apologized on Sunday after throwing a tablet on the sidelines. To be fair, new technology can be hard for boomers to figure out.
I read the other day that he and Giselle are living separately. She is really, really unhappy about the, I'm going to go play football thing. The entire basis of her argument having been the kids need you to be a dad. And him saying, the boys need me to chuck footballs too, even though I've got a zillion dollars. So, the Brazilian supermodel said, right, you're moving out. Allegedly. And yes, I did just talk about that. What's the matter with me? All right, so coming up, scientists have determined the total number of ants on Earth. And also, in another internet story, the Pentagon is trying to reckon with all of its various programs on social media, which is kind of interesting. But this is some good coverage. I think this is going to be significant going forward because, I mean, gosh, how many times have Jack and I talked with y'all about many of the effects of social media? on our lives and our kids' lives and our adolescent lives and the incredible damage they do and the incredible amount of money that changes hands and the dishonesty and the partisanship and the unfairness and the deplatforming and what do you call it? Shadow blocking and stuff like that. And a lot of this stuff feels like it ought to get hashed out, and it might indeed have to go to the courts. Well, according to the Washington Post, a landmark Supreme Court fight over social media now looks likely. Conflicting lower court rulings about removing controversial material from social media platforms point toward a landmark Supreme Court decision on whether the First Amendment protects big tech's editorial discretion or forbids its censorship of unpopular views. The stakes, they write, are high not just for government and the companies, but because of the increasingly dominant role platforms like Twitter and Facebook play in American democracy and elections. You can tell these are older folks. If you're talking about Twitter and Facebook, I mean, you're right, I suppose. But if you don't throw in the Gram and TikTok and what's the other one? I guess that's just pictures, but there are so many that are so hot now among the young people it's probably worth mentioning, more impressionable voters than older folks who are more or less set in their ways. So it is significant to young people. But anyway, governments that say conservative voices are the ones most often eliminated by the decisions of tech companies scored a major victory Friday when a divided panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit upheld a Texas law which barred companies from removing posts based on political ideology. Says Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton after the decision, quote, "Big tech's reign of endless censorship and their suppression of conservative viewpoints is coming to an end. These massive corporate entities cannot continue to go unchecked as they silence the voices of millions of Americans." A unanimous panel. Oh, I was going to say, before I get into that, I had a note to say this and I almost forgot. The idea that, well, they censor people on both sides. Conservatives are just more paranoid about it. Oh, my gosh. People who claim that are so out of their minds, or they want desperately to believe that. If you know anything, whether through your media explorations or personal experience about Silicon Valley and big tech, it is so far left. The human beings who work there, who design the algorithms, who are in charge of deplatforming and appeals and the rest of it, they are 97.4% lefties, roughly. At least on the lower tier, where a lot of these decisions are made. You know, there are some interesting stories coming out of Silicon Valley where the conservatives and moderates are starting to show themselves. Let themselves be known, because the fever pitch during the Trump years has subsided somewhat. So they have found the courage to say, you know what, I don't really rock progressive, woke, you know, critical race theory, queer theory. That's just not my thing. So there's some progress in Silicon Valley. But again, at the, you know, rank and file level where a lot of this stuff actually happens, it's very, very liberal. Anyway, so you got the Fifth Circuit upholding the Texas law barring companies from removing posts based on political ideology. But a unanimous panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit went the other way earlier this year, saying that a similar Florida law violated constitutional protections for tech companies that do not want to host views on their platforms that they find hateful, divisive, or false. Judge Kevin Newsom criticized a depiction of social media platforms as, quote, "dumb pipes reflexively transmitting data from point A to B." Instead, he wrote, "their content moderation decisions constitute the same sort of editorial judgments entitled to First Amendment protections made by a newspaper, for instance." And so all of the appeals court judges that are looking at the Florida and the Texas laws have said, yeah, you combine those with the Supreme Court precedents regarding legacy media, and we don't know what to do. We do not know what to do, which is the classic time the Supreme Court steps in. So look for something in the near future of significance on that front. You know, there's a lot more to say on that, but we've said it enough, I guess, and we'll move on. But that is going to be a blockbuster. And I'm curious which way the court might go. if Jack were here, and he'll be back in a little bit, but if he were here, he'd point out that they're all very old. On the other hand, you know, everybody uses the internet these days, and they have hip young clerks, I think. So anyway, a quick word from our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. They don't do extermination like bugs, so they can't do anything about the ants. And the number of ants on Earth has been calculated by scientists, but Simply Safe Home Security can absolutely protect you against junkies and burglars and randos that are going to steal your kids' bikes or your bike or break into your garage, that sort of thing. Also, they're great with other threats like a health emergency or fire. With their 24/7 professional monitoring, Simply Safe's agents call you the moment a threat is detected, dispatch police or first responders in an emergency, even if you're not at home and can't be reached, or if granny can't get to the phone or what have you, you can use and trust Simply Safe Home Security, so highly rated by all the reviewers, and their monitoring agents truly care about your well-being and are highly trained to keep you calm and safe during stressful situations. Simply Safe's customer-first policies make sure you're taken care of with affordable plans starting at less than a buck a day, and no long-term contracts or hidden fees ever, because they earn your business every single day. Feeling safe at home shouldn't break the bank. Customize the perfect system for your home in a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Go today. Use our code. You can claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring. Again, that's simplysafe.com/Armstrong. And I'm telling you, check out the high-def wireless outdoor camera with night vision. Some rando comes out of your place, you're going to get their face in, their license plate. SimplySafe.com/Armstrong. Damn randos, I hate them. All right, moving along. A couple of things. Still on the tech beat. The Pentagon has ordered a sweeping audit of how it conducts clandestine information warfare after major social media companies identified and took offline fake accounts suspected of being run by the U.S. military in violation of the platform's rules. I'm looking for a metaphor here. So the United States military is using its psyops powers, its psychological operations powers, to influence people around the globe in ways that benefit United States national security and our national interests. And the platforms, the social media platforms, are saying, wait a minute, this account, which is telling Iranian people this poor 22-year-old young woman was beaten to death in jail, and it's a horror, and you ought to be mad about it, and you are, well, that's not really a person, that's the Department of Defense, so we're booting you off. I find myself wondering, to what extent would we put up with that if it was a department store or a hardware store or something like that? I'm not sure how that would be. I mean, you wouldn't ask them to put up with shoplifting or something like that, but businesses that operate under the protection of the United States military, the only reason we have free speech is not because of Twitter, it's because of brave advocates for free speech and our military, of course. To what extent do we have to put up with them doing that? Boy, that's a tough one. Anyway, takedowns in recent years by Twitter and Facebook of more than 150 bogus personas and media sites created in the United States was disclosed last month. While the researchers did not attribute the sham accounts to the U.S. military, two officials familiar with the matter said that U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, is among those whose activities are facing scrutiny. Now, CENTCOM, which is headquartered in Tampa, but it supervises military operations across 21 countries in the Middle East, North Africa, Central and South Asia. And shaping opinion is important and can save troops' lives. Let me noodle that through a little bit. And if y'all feel like it, go ahead. You do the same. But, I mean, we can't force them to keep the accounts up there, can we? Or should they, out of patriotic duty, maybe reach out to the Pentagon and say, hey, just be careful. What's your thoughts on this? Because I've got to admit, I'm a little befuddled. Mailbag at armstrongandgetty.com. That's mailbag at armstrongandgetty.com if you want to drop us an email. And finally, from the world of science, I don't know about where you are, but where, you know, the radio show is based out of Northern California, particularly once you get up into the foothills, there are ants everywhere. Everywhere in the sandy soils of the Sierra Nevada, especially. And so this caught my eye. Scientists have calculated how many ants are on Earth. The number is so big, it's unimaginable. They have a number, but it is unimaginable. The staggering sum is 20,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, also known as 20 quadrillion individuals. The staggering sum reveals ants' astonishing ubiquity. That means they're everywhere. Even as scientists grow concerned about a possible mass die-off of insects that could upend ecosystems. In a paper released Monday that makes everybody want to scratch, by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, a group of scientists from the University of Hong Kong analyzed 489 studies and concluded that the total mass of ants on Earth weighs in at about 12 megatons of dry carbon, a standard way of measuring animals' biomass. I don't do a lot of measuring of animals' biomass, but apparently that's how you do it. Put another way, if all of the ants on Earth were plucked from the ground and put on a scale, they would outweigh all of the wild animals and mammals, I'm sorry, wild birds and mammals put together. For every person, there are 2.5 million ants. It's unimaginable, says the lead author, and I agree with him. For every person, 2.5 million ants. Yikes. If you find yourself in the Sierra in flip-flops or sandals, take this from me. Hard-won personal experience. Don't stand still unless you've looked around to where you are. Ouch. All right, much more to come. If you can't stay tuned, grab the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
This is not a bluff. The citizens of Russia can be sure that the territorial integrity of our homeland, our independence, and freedom will be ensured. And those who try to blackmail us with nuclear weapons should know that the prevailing winds can turn in their direction.
Putin has ordered a partial mobilization of reservists, about 300,000 personnel. He also warns the West he isn't bluffing over using all means at his disposal to protect Russia's territory in what appears to be a veiled reference to Russia's nuclear capability. The address comes a day after Moscow-controlled regions in eastern and southern Ukraine announced plans to hold referendums on becoming parts of Russia, a move that could set the stage for Moscow to escalate its war.
Whoa. So those formerly Ukraine territories are going to declare themselves parts of Russia, and Putin just said, if anybody attacks a part of Russia, we're going to nuke you. Did I follow that more or less?
Hey, everybody. I'm back. Can you open the door, Michael? I left briefly. No, I'm back. Hi. Well, who's that for when they do that whole thing where Putin says, and I'm not holding anything back? That's a veiled threat to using nuclear weapons. That's it. Who's that for exactly?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you point a gun at me and say, I'm willing to do anything. Yeah, you mean like shoot me? Yeah.
Well, that's an unveiled threat. That's the difference. The veiled threat they're confused by.
Yeah.
Anyway, our president, Joseph R. Biden. That's the guy. He just addressed that. That was not part of his address to the UN, but he just addressed the UN. Here are a couple of things he said. Let's start with 54, Michael.
Let us speak plainly. A permanent member of the United Nations Security Council invaded its neighbor, attempted to erase a sovereign state from the map. Russia has shamelessly violated the core tenets of the United Nations Charter. No more important than the clear prohibition against countries taking the territory of their neighbor by force.
Okay, I think he skipped a word or two. Yeah.
How stupid is the whole UN thing? So Ian Bremmer tweeted out before the speech that the UN Security Council is broken. The fact that Russia is a member of the Security Council, permanent member, and gets to veto things is ridiculous. It is. The fact that the president of the United States is having to argue so that someday there might be a vote on that is just crazy.
Right. Of course. Yeah. But what of the sham referendum, or the shamarendum, as I prefer to call them? Clip number 56, Michael.
And the Kremlin is organizing a sham referendum to try to annex parts of Ukraine, an extremely significant violation of the UN Charter. This world should see these outrageous acts for what they are. Putin claims he had to act because Russia was threatened. But no one threatened Russia, and no one other than Russia sought conflict.
We're using a lighthearted tone because that is our thing, but these are the kind of speeches that happen before and during world wars.
Yes, we are edging closer to something truly horrific. There's no question of that.
Yeah. So the game is, in case anybody's missed it, is he's gonna have these votes. They're gonna be fake. They're gonna vote to join Russia. Putin is gonna declare that these areas of Ukraine are now part of Russia, and then any action by the Ukrainian military in those regions will then be an attack on Russia, and he will have justification, and I don't know who this is for, but he'll have the justification for anything, really.
Well, I like national security expert Jack Armstrong's suggestion for a counter threat.
Yeah, I actually took this from Richard Haass, Counsel on Foreign Relations, who writes columns in the Wall Street Journal and Washington Post all the time, but his thing was, we need to make it clear, look, we're not going to retaliate with nuclear weapons, but NATO will come to full support of Ukraine, and we will take back every square inch of Ukraine. Full conventional war against you if you do any of those things. And I think that we ought to draw that red line and make that threat. I wish Biden would have.
Armstrong.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not
boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.